This is Church of the Resurrection in Wheaton, Illinois.
Good morning. My name is Father Matt, the interim dean here at the cathedral, and you may be seated. I want to start by saying that if you hang around church, and especially this church, you will notice people praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, sometimes adding an embodied action of the sign of the cross. You will see our creed, which is Trinitarian in shape. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. I've found in my years as a pastor and myself trying to follow Jesus as well, that it's that last part of the Trinitarian name that is often the hardest to grasp intellectually, to get a handle on, the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? So 10 churches in our diocese have joined together, and we're launching today throughout the diocese. 10 of our 16 churches are launching a series on the person, the nature, the work of the Holy Spirit. And our goal for this series is not only that you would get biblical teaching on the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit's role, all that, but also our goal is that you would have an experience of the Holy Spirit. Paul, in this passage, he talks about a manifestation of the Spirit. Earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians, he talks about a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So I don't want you to just get knowledge, as important that is. I also want you, and a biblical framework, very essential, but also I want you to have experience a manifestation and a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. So as we begin, let's pray. And often through this series, I hope we have opportunities to invoke the presence of the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, as you breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit, may we receive life in the Spirit. Those of many of us who already have the Spirit in us, the Spirit of Jesus who dwells within us through his resurrection, I just pray, God, that we would receive the gifts of the Spirit, receive the transformation of the Spirit, receive the growth and the fruits of the Spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 3 or 4 times a week, I take a 45-minute walk around my neighborhood. And that is a miracle that I can do that. Because when I was 18 years old, I was playing a pickup game of basketball. I blew out my knee. I tore my ACL. I had a surgery, a type of surgery that was experimental at the time. They found out this experiment doesn't work, and my knee was never really fixed properly. And so for decades, my knee would occasionally, like maybe once every other month, partially dislocate. I'd have to pop it back into place. Yeah, it was kind of gross. And then it would swell, and it would be painful, and I couldn't walk for a week on it. And I thought, I have no cartilage in that knee. For sure, I'm going to need a knee replacement by the time I'm 60 years old. I went to Brazil, Recife, Brazil. And these Brazilian women asked if they could pray for healing for my knee. I said yes, and I thought, go ahead, it's not gonna hurt, okay? So it probably won't hurt, help, but it's not gonna hurt, right? So they prayed fervently for healing in my knee. That was 8 years ago. I have never had my knee partially dislocate. It's never been sore. I walk freely. Now I'm getting older, so someday, folks, I'm going to need a new knee replacement. Someday I'm going to be dead, okay? So the healing is not permanent, but for 8 years, I have had freedom to use my left knee, which is a miracle. So I call that, and verse in this passage, Paul calls it a manifestation of the Spirit. Let me give you one more example, and I've used this example many times, so you haven't been here, but Kay Finnefrock, Barnum, Minnesota, matron of the church. She, when she had you into her home and when she practiced hospitality, there was an anointing on her person, on her hospitality. There was an anointing on that farm-raised beef that she served, the apple pie that she made. You weren't just eating food, you were eating love. You were eating the love of Jesus. You felt so loved. There was an anointing on that. It was a manifestation of the power of the Spirit. So in our first reading, 1 Corinthians 12, I invite you to turn there, page 959. We're going to walk through this passage, and St. Paul begins this passage, which we believe is God's holy word inspired by the Holy Spirit. He begins by saying, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be in the dark. I want you to know some things. I want you to have a biblical framework." And he's going to tell us that basically three categories of things he wants to know about the Holy Spirit. First, the variety of gifts of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the source of those gifts. And third, the purpose of spiritual gifts. So let's look at each one. So, great thinkers of the church, I could name some names if you want me to later on, but great thinkers of the church have said that just as Jesus is called the Word of God, with a capital W, he shows us and tells us who God the Father is, the Spirit has often been called the gift of God, with a capital G. So the first gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. But out of that, the Spirit gives a variety, a bouquet, a plethora, a cornucopia of gifts. And so verse 4, it says this, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Notice that threefold repetition of variety, variety, variety. That was a great Greek word in the original language. It referred to, like, if you've seen like Turkish carpets that have all these colors and patterns and threads, but they all weave together into one beautiful rug. That was the word used for variety. It was used in rug making. So in the New Testament, there are five different lists of spiritual gifts. And here's the thing about them. None of them are the same. They have crossover, they have same things on the list, but none of them are identical. And it's almost as if, so for each church community, there is a sovereign gift mix that God gives to that particular church community for a particular season of time. They're local, they're organic, and you never get the sense that this is the definitive list for every church at all time. So in this passage, Paul mentions a variety of gifts. This is the longest one. But let me just mention a few of them. I'm not going to go through all of them. I wish I had time. In verse 8, he talks about the gift of the utterance of wisdom. And that is the ability to give somebody wisdom that you don't even know that they really need it, and they might not even know that they really need it, but it's wise advice. Some people just have this Holy Spirit anointed ability to speak wisdom into somebody's life. There's a gift of faith. Now, to be a Christian, you have to have faith in Jesus, of course. I have faith. I don't think I have a spiritual gift of faith. A spiritual gift of faith is people who just have this, I don't know what to call it. It's like this ramped up ability to just believe in Jesus and have faith and hope and confidence, even in the darkest of circumstances. And just to be around people like that for me is just like contagious, and it helps me. There's a gift of prophecy, which Bishop Stewart defines very briefly as the ability to speak the truth of God's word now into a particular situation. There's a gift of, down in verse 28. So there's these kind of what we might think are more extraordinary gifts, and then there's these sort of more what we might think are more ordinary gifts, but Paul doesn't make that distinction. But there's the gift of helping in verse 28. I knew this guy when I was pastoring out in Long Island named Danny Blanco. We lived right by Stony Brook University, so we had lots of PhDs coming to our church, lots of really smart people, and they like to talk about lots of different things and philosophize and plan, and should we do this, should we do that, how should we set up the room, should we do it this way, let's get a diagram, let's get an architect in here. Danny he worked for the Department of Transportation. He'd just go up there all by himself, sling tables and chairs and set up the whole room, and we'd come up there and go, "Oh, that's nice, that's good." I tell you, Danny's helping was anointed by the Holy Spirit. There's a gift of administration, Paul says in verse 28. Again, in the original Greek language, that was used for a captain of a ship, somebody who steers things, somebody who manages things. That's a beautiful gift. In Romans 12, another spiritual gift list has the gift of giving, the gift of generosity. Some people love that, and they're anointed in it. Then in 1 Peter, another gift list, there's the gift of hospitality, the gift of opening your heart and your home. Now, Christians should all be doing these things. So it's not like, oh, I don't have the gift of hospitality, so I can't have you over, sorry. That's not my gift, okay? So we all are supposed to practice these, but some people have an extra anointing on them, which I'll talk about in just a minute. Now look at how the word of God that we read celebrates this variety of gifts. Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, between another this, various kinds of tongues. I almost kind of get the picture that Paul is thinking of the church in Corinth and thinking of particular people, to another, you have that gift, to another, I've seen that gift in you. I find this really beautiful. So here's this variety of gifts. Just as God has a variety in his creation, variety of kinds of flowers, variety of kinds of tastes, and spices. There is a variety of spiritual gifts. But it's also important, the second point, to know the source of these gifts, to be reminded of this. So verse 4, varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in every one. Did you notice that that's a Trinitarian structure to those four verses? Talks about the Spirit, talks about the Lord, who is Jesus, and talks about God, who is God the Father. So some people say, well, how did the church come up with the concept of the Trinity? Wasn't that something they developed in like 325 at the Council of Nicaea or something like that? Well, it got sharpened and clarified, but here it is. It's always been there. It's always been in the church's just bank of memory and how they practice and the church's habitus, how they live their life together. And so here, Paul calls, it says that the Spirit is the Spirit is the source of these gifts. And gifts is the word charismata, from which we get the word charismatic. So if somebody asks me, well, is Church of the Resurrection a charismatic church? I think, we better be. We better be charismatic. Every Christian's charismatic. There's not a single follower of Jesus who's not charismatic, because you have the gift of the Spirit. Now, we might think there's all kinds of other baggage that comes with that, but every single Christian is charismatic in the sense that we have the Holy Spirit and gifts within us. Now look at verse 11. All these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit, a common source, and they're empowered from that same source, who apportions in the present tense, meaning literally the Spirit is still apportioning those things. It's not a one and done thing. The Spirit is always apportioning gifts that we need to each one individually as he wills. So I love that. There's a sense of the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit that, like, you don't just get any gift you want just because you want it. I mean, you can ask for it. That's great. You should pray for it, ask for it, seek it. But the Holy Spirit is sovereign in the gifts that you receive. The Holy Spirit is sovereign in what I'll call the gift composite, the oriental rug that I talked about that the Lord is weaving together at Church of the Resurrection. And we might like to think we're good at everything as a church. We're not. No church is. We have a particular gift composite that the Lord has assigned providentially and sovereignly for us, for this season. So that is the source of the gift. The Holy Spirit is the source. And sometimes people ask, well, is that the same thing as a natural gift? Like, let's say you have the spiritual gift of administration. Well, does that mean you just have a natural gift of administration? And the text doesn't say, but just in my pastoral experience, I find that there is often an overlap, or sometimes there is. But here's the thing. When the Spirit empowers your natural gift, it gets like a, well, it's like this. Let's say you have a little fire going in your fireplace. And I love one of the greatest inventions of all time, the bellows, right? The bellows, like who invented that? That is so cool. Like you just whoosh, and air comes out and whooshes on the fire and poof, it puffs up with power and with life and vitality. That's like how the Holy Spirit empowers our natural gift. So we are no longer working just in the natural plane. The Spirit is working in us and through us. Now, what is the purpose of these gifts? Well, verse 7, it's really clear. And here it is. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for, purpose clause, what? My good? Well, maybe. But no, what's more important is the common good. It's for all of us together. It's for the common good. So sometimes people will ask, and this has been my experience as well, how do you find your spiritual gift? And I will often say, well, just start serving. Start serving people in Jesus' name. Start serving in the church. Start doing things for Jesus. And you will find that some of the things you do, it's like there's bellows blowing on it. First, because you get a lot of joy and delight in it. And second, because it's just, God uses it. It's like, wow, that was me, but that was more than me. There was something anointed in that. So you're living constantly open to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, work in me, work through me. Now, let me talk about two ways we can get off track with spiritual gifts. So it's still under the purpose of gifts. Two ways we can go wrong, get the purpose wrong. So Paul talks about them later in the passage, and it's really important for us to get these. So the two ways we can get spiritual gifts wrong is one is what I will call the sin of inferiority. And that is where we say, you don't need my gifts. You don't need me. Nobody needs me. The church doesn't need me. Church doesn't need what I have to offer. That's a sin of inferiority. And then there's the sin of superiority, where it's like, I don't need you. I don't need you people. I don't need you people to live the Christian life. I can do it by myself. So let's look at those. So in verse 15, Paul starts talking about the sin of inferiority. And he says this, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of a body. It's a very earthy analogy. And I think there's a little bit of humor in it. So it's kind of like this. You know, feet, generally speaking, aren't as pretty as hands. I don't know about your feet, but my feet are not as pretty as my hands. I have a bunion on my right foot. I won't go into more details, but your feet get toe jam, your feet get fungus. So it's easy for a foot to say, oh, look at that hand. Look at that hand, how delicately she plays the piano. Look at how she sprinkles salt on that fried egg. You know, I can't do that, I'm just a foot. And Paul says, no. That's actually the sin of inferiority. Paul says, imagine if the whole body was an ear. Think about that. One big ear. That's gross, you know? That is just disgusting, a big ear. Again, think of earwax. Think of this stuff. Don't think about it too much, though. Okay? It's just, so Paul says in verse 18, he says, as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Again, there's that sovereignty of God. He chooses. And he is good. And he's our Father, and he knows what we need. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So that's the sin of inferiority. Then there's a sin of superiority. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This is the sin of elitism, the sin of snobbery, the sin that says, those people, they're too poor, or they're too rich. It's a sin of racism or classism. It's the sin of imagining that I can't stand doing life with those people. Those people. You know who those people are? There's those people that you don't like, you know? There's those people that you would never really choose to be friends with. But in the body of Christ, God has chosen them to be here. So who are you to judge them? You see, the triune God operates totally differently. Look at verse 22. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. So the kinds of people that we think should deserve less honor and maybe even get less honor by the surrounding culture are actually the ones that we should be honoring the most. These two verses are at the core of this really lovely ministry we have at this church called Thrive. And Thrive is a ministry which was started here at Res by some of our lay leaders to minister to persons and families impacted by those with disabilities. And this is the kind of one of the core of values of Thrive Ministry. So they've showed me this little map, this little chart of the five stages of ministering with and among and walking with people impacted by disabilities. And here are the five stages. First is ignorance. We don't know any, we don't know that they're there. And then is pity. Oh, those poor people. Wow, we got to do something for them. Then is care. Now you might think, well, I care about them. You might think that's a good thing, right? Well, yeah, it's good, but it gets better. Then there's friendship. We're actually friends. Like, there's mutuality. But then it gets even better. And that's what Paul's talking about here. We become co-laborers. So it's no longer us doing ministry to people. It's us doing ministry together as co-laborers, mutually honoring each other, respecting each other, learning from each other, growing from each other. That's at the heart of Thrive. So when you ever hear about Thrive, that's what we're doing here at Church of the Resurrection. And by the way, there's a parent support group meeting after the second service. If I could just slip that announcement in, you can go right upstairs and check out Thrive yourself. So do not say, church doesn't need me. My gifts are too small. Or maybe the season of my life, I just can't use my gifts that much, so the church doesn't need me. I'm just not that important. I'm kind of off the radar. I'm kind of in a slow season of my life. Don't say that. The church needs your gift, whatever you can offer. And do not say, I don't need them. I can live without them. That is a sin of superiority, and that will quench the Spirit's work in your life. So in this series, we are getting in touch with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And to begin this series, spiritual gifts is just, it's like an easy on-ramp, because it's one way that we can see and experience how the Spirit operates in a very concrete way. So what we're going after is a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Where do we start? Well, I'm going to make a plea for all of us. I'm going to exhort us, all of us. And here's the exhortation. Here's where it begins. It begins, and let me use this phrase. It sounds kind of clunky, but let me explain it. It begins in ordinary, embodied human existence. Where do you experience the power of the Spirit? It's here. It's what we're doing. This is where you experience it. So you come to worship with a spirit of openness. A spirit of openness. I want, Lord, whatever you have for me today, whatever manifestation of the Spirit that you have for me today, I want it, Lord, and I'm open for it. So as we worship, as we sing songs, as we listen to scripture read, as we hear the word preached, as we come around the Eucharist, as we declare that Jesus is Lord in our creed, which is a powerful statement that is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Every time we say Jesus is Lord, it's a manifestation of the Spirit, because there's nobody higher than him, nobody above him. That is where we begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, life in the Spirit. And here's my other plea. Don't live your life in your head and online, mostly. Because they're tools, and they have their place. Look, I'm on Facebook, okay? I'm on Instagram. I follow one person on Instagram, okay? But they're tools, but where are you gonna experience a manifestation of the power of the Spirit? Life online is fast, it's quick, but it's impersonal, and it's disembodied. And you don't know. You don't know if what you're reading is true. You don't know. It's better to see it with your own eyes. It's so much better to just get with a person face to face and talk to him or her. Embodied, ordinary embodied human existence is slow. It's messy. It's complicated. But it is personal and it's embodied. And that's primarily where the Holy Spirit shows up. When we say, I need you. And you need me. You need my presence. That is the heart of Christian community. I talked about the gift of faith. It's a gift I do not have. I have faith in Jesus, but I don't have the gift of faith. My faith is not as strong as a lot of people. I need to be around people. I need to pray regularly with people who have the gift of faith to ignite mine. So as we begin this series, as we begin Eastertide, this Easter season, together let us work and love and pray for a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.